The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some.
And here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Filling in for John Stadtmiller here on the National Intel Report, the daily show here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I am yours, Mark Anderson. Some of you, many of you know me, American Free Press writer. I also have my blog, thetruthhound.com, shameless plug number one, thetruthhound.com, and that's under my banner of my own news association, and that's called Stop the Presses News and Commentary. I also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/thetruthhound, as well as that blog, thetruthhound.com. Check it out. Some articles at americanfreepress.net and also in the AFP hard copy every other week. Now, John and I just finished a September 8th conference in Seguin, Texas, near San Antonio. And we were hosted by the one and only Ron Avery, who's been a guest and on this show. And he's, of course, a fan of this show and a fan of this network. And at that conference, we discussed a number of things, 9/11 and the foreclosure racket, how to stop it. And I spoke on global cities. And John asked me to fill in today for the National Intel Report here on RBN here on September 14, 2018. And he wanted me to cover global cities in reasonable detail, which I will after a fashion. But lots of interesting headlines. This was a short notice thing to be on the show today, so I didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare. But like many in the movement, as we know it, we always have a lot of on our minds, a lot of information to digest, a lot of information to share. And I've been looking at a lot of stuff on a YouTube channel called A Call for an Uprising. I don't even know the guy that does it, that puts it on, but it's called A Call for an Uprising. I've seen some very interesting things there. I may touch on some of those things as I go along. Kind of a free form show today for the next 2 hours. Of course, callers will be welcome a little later on in the show, especially, but they're always welcome generally, as you know. But one of the things that came across my headline scan today is Nathan Larson. And this actually came out in May, but I didn't get it on Facebook until today. But come to find out, I thought it was very, very recent. But this came out in latter May of 2018, ladies and gentlemen. And this is Nathan Larson, 37 years old, an accountant from Charlottesville, Virginia, reportedly running for a seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. And what's interesting here is, according to the Huffington Post, your favorite blog site and mine, not, he is an open pedophile. He's openly declared, doesn't deny it, openly admits it, he's a pedophile. And he's reportedly written in his blog, and he's told the Huffington Post there's a grain of truth to this, in essays on his blog about allegedly raping his ex-wife, and allegedly having incestuous sex with his young daughter. Now, the reason I bring this up is not to just get all worked up like a tabloid in the storefront about these salacious things. What I'm talking about is the media's treatment of this and what appears to me to be an operation. Because if you go on to read the article, you read that Nathan Larson is fascinated with Adolf Hitler and is a conservative Republican or conservative independent. Oh, let me get this straight. The Huffington Post, while calling him a admitted pedophile, they say he's a libertarian in the headline to the story. But then when you get into the text, they declare he's an independent. But he's quasi-conservative in the Huff Post's estimation. And then they go on to say how this knocking on the door of white supremacy, more or less conservative guy that has at least something of an admiration for Adolf Hitler, happens to be a pedophile. And I think what we're seeing here, ladies and gentlemen, and I've seen this before, and maybe callers later on might want to share their thoughts, is that this is an operation that this guy might not even really have these views. They're trying to associate pedophilia with conservatism. And then they try to equate conservatism with being pro-Hitler. It seems to me that while this guy might be an open pedophile and a real candidate, that this could be completely whole cloth fake news from A to Z, again, to make these free associations between Hitlerism, conservatism, pedophilia, because after all, pedophilia now is being accepted as just another sexual orientation, not a sickness, not a would-be or actual crime, but just another of one of many orientations out there. And when I read a popular or infamous issue of National Geographic that many of us have seen, and that cover of that National Geographic issue shows a kind of cross-gender little boy with pinkish hair, or is it a girl? We're not sure. When you open that edition of the magazine that came out a couple of years ago, you find that now there are 21 or so sexual orientation variations being put out by the ultra-globalist, ultra-one-world, ultra, if you will, Illuminati media. And so this is what we're looking at. And when you look at it in this context and you see headlines like Nathan Larson, the 37-year-old accountant from Charlottesville, who's supposedly this open pedophile, conservative, more or less pro-Hitler running for Congress, you see the very distinct possibility and even probability that this is a operation, a fake news thing, simply to associate these things and tarnish, as Vladimir Lenin said, tarnish things through the association process by associating conservatism with things that are considered criminal or highly distasteful or highly unseemly. And I think that this is an example of many other news stories that we might find out there that sound like they're actual news, that sound like they're literally talking about or literally interpreting what's really happening, rather. But in fact, it's a planted story in order to make guilt by association connections and then through that tarnish and destroy the reputations of certain concepts, certain ideologies, certain schools of thought. And a little later on in the show, I'd love to get listeners' thoughts on this. I think other people could bring examples forward, headlines forward that they've seen where they go, you know, this is interesting, but is this true at all? Or whether there's a grain of truth to it or not, what's the real purpose of this story? What's the operation here? What's the modus operandi? And so I'll put that thought forward, this article forward about Nathan Larson, let this gel a little bit, and as the show goes on for the next couple hours, we'll see if callers might want to chime in on this, talk about headlines they've seen recently or in the not-too-distant past that where they've had a similar feeling that this just doesn't add up at all. We need a Sherlock Holmes. We need a Dr. Watson. We need something, someone that looks beyond these headlines, that looks at what these things are really doing, what's really happening, rather, what they're conflating here, what they're associating, what kind of dots they're connecting, and for what purpose. So that's one very interesting thing that's come across my desk. And probably starting at the bottom of the hour, 6:30 Central Time, I'll begin to get into global cities more heavily, as John Stadtmiller asked me for tonight's National Intel Report. Now, another thing that came across my news desk, you might say, in my research for Stop the Presses and American Free Press and other outlets. 21stCenturyWire.com is another outlet where I have some articles appear sometimes. Also see ukcolumn.org, which is a TV-based format, and that runs Monday through Friday in real time at 7 a.m. Central and 8 a.m. Eastern, about 1 in the afternoon, as I understand it, over there in the UK, and that runs Monday through Friday. Again, ukcolumn.org. I appear on there periodically. This other item that I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, was in the Austin American Statesman, and I picked this up when I was in Seguin September 8th for Ron Avery's conference when I spoke about global cities, and then the others, including John Stadtmiller of this station, spoke. And I happened to go in a convenience store right near the hotel, and this Austin American Statesman headline caught my eye. And this deals with the abortion issue. Now, the abortion issue, as many of us may perceive, is something that even the Patriot Movement, let's call it the Patriot Movement, it's an easy way to describe it, has trouble with. There's that libertarian strain where some people don't want to be constrained by the state, and they kind of go off into a sort of moral netherworld and say, well, the state shouldn't be able to tell a woman whether she has a baby or not. However, I am of the opinion that what trumps that is that the child inside the womb is a person in his or her own right and has inherent rights to life. And the right to life being the cornerstone rights of all, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Notice that life is first. Other rights don't mean anything. The very concept of rights doesn't mean anything if life is not protected. And if the state has any role at all, it's to protect the basic biological life and the basic sanctity of life. And that's precisely why, ladies and gentlemen, this headline caught my eye so quickly. And here it is. Fetal remains law blocked again. I'll say that again. Fetal remains law blocked again. And what this story goes on to talk about is that the secular, liberal, Zionist left is so enamored with this abortion industry that they've created, of which Planned Parenthood is the most visible and largest element, is so indifferent to even the most basic idea of a sanctity of life that a Texas law, the law that's being blocked, the fetal remains law that's being blocked, that law would afford the deceased fetus, the child, I shouldn't even use that word fetus, the word fetal is a misnomer. This child, this his or her, this child of God that's been ripped from its mother's womb and has been killed and dismembered in most cases, The liberal left, the pro-abortion racket, is so indifferent to even, again, the most basic element of the sanctity of life that the remains, the Texas law demanded that the remains be treated like human remains, like the human remains that they are, and buried properly, basically like any other dignified human being would wish to be buried after their death. So this Texas law, no matter how basic it is, just wanting the most elementary element of dignity afforded to this discarded human being, this dismembered human being, even that is being opposed by the abortion racket. Even something that fundamental, that simple, that reasonable. And this shows the true face of the abortion racket, does it not? And this is important for those that wobble on this issue. You have to understand a couple of things. The abortion issue, the abortion racket, is not about women's rights or women's health and never has been. It is about depopulating the world. It is about brutalizing even the most basic sense of decency and dignity of the remains of this murdered child, this infant, this pre-born child. And so when you look at this and you look at the way the Austin American Statesman treated this issue, you see that the decision of U.S. District Judge David Ezra and his decision that this was a thinly veiled attempt to restrict abortion. In other words, Texas having some of the strictest abortion laws in the country that have measurably limited the number of abortion clinics, and that's a good thing in my view. But for this law, according to this U.S. district judge, for this law, even though it's only about dealing with the remains of the baby after the abortion, for this law to even proclaim something as humble as let's give this deceased child, this dismembered child, a decent burial, even that is resisted by the abortion racketeers. What that means is, and it shows, that they're not interested in this purely from a medical or ethical point of view. This is a bloody and despicable and despotic industry that's part of the internationalist, transnationalist abortion racket, and that is a depopulation scheme under the guise of women's rights and women's health. But we all know that the performance of an abortion is something that harms a woman physically, emotionally, mentally, across the board, which is well documented. I've written about it. And so even the most liberal among us in the movement, I believe, would have to look at this and say, well, I thought that the abortion racket at least was somewhat about the health of the woman, the dignity of the woman, that would have some modicum of humanity to it. But this really drives the nail in the proverbial coffin, ladies and gentlemen. This shows finally the true face of this industry, where the remains cannot even be given a burial. And instead, and I'm going to read this right from the article, bear with me a moment. Instead of a burial, here's what we get. You're going to hear the sound of newsprint. Currently, abortion clinics can dispose of fetal tissue by having it incinerated and sent to a landfill or ground up and discharged into a sanitary sewage system. That is the dignity afforded to the baby that comes out of the woman that Planned Parenthood claims to have such an interest in terms of the women's health and their well-being. That child was a part of that woman genetically, biologically, across the board. So here again, we have the press pumping this and not having any counterpoint in there to speak of. And then on top of it, the Austin American Statesman, in the very same issue, dated September 6th, 2018, goes on to run a column by Kate Coleman Minahan, a special contributor, not offering counterpoint on this story about fetal remains, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, no. This is another article arguing in favor of even more abortion on demand, of even less restrictions, of even less dignity, and everything like that. Even the photo caption pretty much tells it all. A former health clinic exam room is used for education and training purposes. In a judicial bypass, adolescents must go to court and answer very personal questions in front of a judge, exposing them to humiliation and stigma by adult authority figures. So in other words, the abortion industry, the racketeers, and the Austin American Statesman that supports this industry is saying that even a minor, an adolescent, shouldn't have to go in front of a judge, shouldn't have to tell their parents, and should be able to just slip away and get rid of their parents' grandchildren without their parents even knowing it, without there being any decisions by a judge. So this, again, shows what's going on. And hearing music, we'll be right back after these messages.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
And returning to the National Intel Report, your guest host, Mark Anderson, filling in for John Stadtmiller tonight, 14 September 2018. I hope everyone's having a great Friday evening. That's some good sounding jazz music. Being a drummer myself, I can really appreciate that stuff. And I just wanted to put sort of a capstone on what I just talked about with the Austin American Statesman's deplorable reporting. Absolutely biased, absolutely in favor of the death culture on the abortion issue. And they invite people to be part of the discussion, they say. So in this same September 6th issue of the Austin American Statesman, let's make sure we follow through if you'd like, if you're so inclined. Their phone number for the editorial board is 512-445-1776, a bit of an insult to that year. But once again, 512-445-1776. If you want to submit a guest commentary, views, like viewpoints, views at statesman.com. That's statesman, M-A-N, views at statesman.com. Letters to the editor, letters at statesman.com. And the imperative here, in my opinion, is to contact them about their coverage of the fetal remains issue, where they're basically trumpeting the idea that, again, a aborted baby, a murdered child, should not even be afforded a burial, but should either be incinerated or ground up and put in the sewer system. That is the powers that be, that's their view of the unborn or preborn child. Interesting. Now, moving on, as I promised John Stadtmiller, when we were at the conference September 8th in Seguin, the first Great Topics Conference, also I'll mention, and you can still check this out. Here comes the next cheap plug, completely shameless. You can still check it out by going to mixnstream.com, M-I-X, the letter N like Nancy, stream, like a stream that flows, mixnstream.com. And you can follow the directions. And just for $10, a mere $10, that's less than a 12-pack of cheap beer, maybe about the same, you can get video links to all the speakers from that day. That also included Christopher Bolin on 9/11. Very interesting there in those connections. Mickey Paletta on fighting the banker foreclosure racket. I might have more details on that a little later in the show. Myself on global cities. And, of course, the headliners, and that's Dave Gaharry and Phil Turney on the ship that won't sink, about the USS Liberty and the Israeli attack on that ship, which killed 30-some sailors, I believe it's 34 without looking, and wounded many more in June of 1967. Again, an attack on our Navy, on a naval vessel, the USS Liberty, in June of 67 by Israeli torpedo boats and warplanes. So mixandstream.com, check it out. Of course, my Global Cities speech is there too. Just $10, you get all the speeches, and I really encourage that. It helps alternative media, and it helps the two authors that were there on the USS Liberty to produce a movie based on their book called Erasing the Liberty. They're working on a companion movie. So, again, with my topic, global cities, it's very interesting, and what I talked about, and I'll give you the pared down version. I want you to watch the whole thing at Mixinstream if you can, if you're so inclined out there. What I talked about was basically what Bilderberg is about. I've covered Bilderberg several times, seven, eight maybe times. Let me think. Probably eight times in person and once one country away. And that, in fact, that was this year. It was back in early June of this year that I went to the ukcolumn.org in Plymouth, UK, and I was the news anchor for the first time. And I had people out in the field at Italy, at Northern Italy, where Bilderberg met. And I was the anchor, you might say, the news anchor. And then the people out in the field, including Thomas Gasser from Switzerland, a great photographer, and Dan Dix of Press for Truth, those two guys primarily were helping me gather news, and they have news outlets in their own right, particularly Mr. Dix with PressForTruth.ca, based in Canada. And that was a first for me. I'll mention that. I had a great time, thanks to Mike Robinson and Brian Garish of the UK Column. They helped me with a lot of things. I also produced my own TV-based news show for the first time. I'm going to be posting soon. Stay tuned for that. It's called Stop the Presses, and it's the first one is about monetary reform. A very interesting angle on that you might not have seen much, if at all, before. So getting some of this housekeeping out of the way and these announcements, stay tuned for all of that. I'll now get into the nutshell summary of Global Cities. I've talked about this issue somewhat with John as the host and me as the guest going back to this past spring. And with that message, caught me a little off guard. We'll continue on Global Cities right after these ads.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
A I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com, or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, coming back. One of the great Yes albums of all time, 90125. The great John Anderson on vocals, no relation, of course. Alan White on drums. Those guys, unstoppable in the early to mid-80s when that album came out. That song talks about Constitution screw-ups, shattering the means. Justice to the left of you, justice to the right. Speak when you are spoken to, but don't pretend you're right. This life's not for living, it's for fighting and for wars. No matter what the truth is, hold on to what is yours. Absolutely great. Tremendous musicianship, a tremendous message. And if I dare say, as a musician, an example of when rock music truly was rich and varied and meaningful and was loaded with musical talent. Now you get scratchy, digity sounding crap. You can't tell one thing apart from another. The 60s had their sound. The 80s had their sound. The 70s, every decade had its sound. What does rock music now have? We we have people in their teens that are listening to the classic rock from 20, 30, 40 years ago because the music now has been completely depleted of all quality and all meaning. So I go see local bands. I go see local talent, grassroots acts. I rarely, if ever, go to the big acts anymore because it's too expensive. And so I listen to some classic rock. I listen to local bands. I play some local stuff of my own, whether it's cover or original stuff, and play music from the heart, play it for real, not over-synthesized, not over-digitized, not faked, and not depleted of all its quality and meaning like it has been these days, where there's no character to the current decade like there used to be a 60s sound. All that is gone. Rock music is effectively dead in its modern genre. Therefore, we have to listen to the classics, and that's my rant about music. Now, getting on back to the Global Cities agenda that I want to talk about tonight, when I shared it back at the conference on September 8th, I talked, of course, about the American empire and its media, because when you talk about global cities and what it is, pardon my paper rattling here a little bit, you have to show a little bit about the big picture, the biggest part of the picture, you might say, and that is the American empire and its media. And what I argue is that this really constitutes a major part of the private government, the privatization of government. The powers that be weren't content with having wholly privately owned media, which is communications. And certainly you would think that privately running the monetary system, issuing the money, subcontracting the Treasury Department to print their money for them, you'd think that would be enough, the usury, the debt-based money system. Oh, no. Then they had to sequester the vote. How'd they do that? You have Diebold, you have ES&S, you have Hart Intercivic, the large companies, Premier and Dominion, companies like that that own the counting of the votes through the electronic voting machines. The election clerks can run the machines, but they're not allowed to look under the hood too much. They're not allowed to look at the software. And so the counting of the vote, like Stalin said, he who casts the vote matters not. He who counts the vote is all that matters. And so you have the privatization of the vote, as well as communications, i.e. media, and then, of course, the monetary system. What's left? What's left is, those are the components, what's left is the privatization of government itself. And to do that takes some very shifty and crafty tactics to bottle the whole thing up as a private operation and basically erase the whole idea of a publicly spirited government in the first place. And the American empire and its media is a big part of that, because that's what steers everything, this privatized media. And the Bilderberg meetings, they have their media people. And I showed this on a chart in Seguin, the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. They all have interlocking interests in the media and their own shills that are op-ed columnists and editors, news directors, contributing editors, consultants, every kind of function you can think of. And that involves, of course, Foreign Affairs, the CFR Journal, the Financial Times, Bloomberg, Fox News. And Fox News likes to act like it's separate from the rest of the media. A lot of us have noticed this. Sean Hannity and other Fox contributors and anchors will talk about the mainstream media as if it's separate from Fox News, when they are an integral part of it. And then across the board, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Time Magazine, WAPO, the Washington Post, CNN, need I name more, ABC, the Disney Network, and so on. And under that, under those main think tanks, Bilderberg, the CFR, and the Trilateral Commission, what I talked about was that, unbeknownst to a lot of people, there is a network of some 90 local council on world affairs sprinkled throughout the United States. And this is like having miniature CFRs, Council on Foreign Relations kind of institutes across the country. There's a Northern Indiana, or there's an Indiana, Northern Kentucky one. Sometimes they're based on regions. They're very heavy in Texas. And Texas consists of these World Affairs Councils, the World Affairs Council of Austin, of Dallas-Fort Worth, of Greater Houston, of San Antonio, of South Texas, which is based in Corpus, and the North America Borderplex Council. Those are the six World Affairs Council of some 90 such councils across the U.S. that actually stem ultimately from a place I visited in the U.K. this past spring when I went there to do the anchor issue, or the anchor setup, excuse me, that I talked about with the U.K. column a little earlier. I went to the Chatham House, the Royal Institute on International Affairs, and that is the, you might say, mothership. Just like the Bank of England is the mothership to the Fed, the Chatham House or Royal Institute is the mothership to the CFR in New York. And that, in 1922, helped give birth to the Chicago Council on Global Affairs in Chicago. But at that time in 1922, it was called the Chicago Council on Foreign Relations. Now, that name got a little infamous, a little hot, as analysts like James Perloff and others came along that exposed the CFR, Gary Allen, John Stormer, among others, in the classic Patriot days, you might say. And so the CCGA, the Chicago Council, I'll call it that for short, has been the most active among these 90 World Affairs Councils. Now, for clarity, the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, or Chicago Council, is not technically a member of the World Affairs Councils of America, or WACA, which does have these 90 or so satellites throughout the U.S. They're not a direct formal member, but they participate in the same programs. They have many of the same speakers. They're birds of a feather. They just don't happen to be in the exact same organizational structure, but they are in the same ideological framework. And so to understand global cities, we see this. We see the Chatham House in the U.K. reaching to the New York CFR, which gave birth, at least indirectly, to the Chicago Council. And then you have the World Affairs Council of America formed. It has some 90 chapters throughout the U.S. I named those that are in Texas. And this provides the framework with which city government cooperates and colludes and associates with to begin to form what's called global cities. Now, other components that are more specific toward the global city's goal, organizations that is, include the Global Parliament of Mayors. Now, the Global Parliament of Mayors is, you know, pretty telltale just by its name alone, that mayors see themselves, select mayors from select cities, including Chicago, which is very active through that Chicago Council. The mayor there, Rahm Emanuel, a Clintonite, is very active with mayors across the U.S., including Austin's mayor right here in Texas, right next door to RBN. And these mayors here and abroad go to the Global Parliament of Mayors and the Global Covenant of Mayors on Climate Change, another group, and that's headed up by yours truly, Michael Bloomberg. They get together and they have different summits. And at these summits, they've begun to get on to the idea, to put forth the idea and the tactics involved in restructuring government from the bottom up, rather from the top down, because top down, too many people are catching on. It's getting a little messy. It's getting a little too apparent. So they're going more clandestine, more under the floorboards, and they're doing it from the bottom up, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why this global cities thing is coming along. Now, it's worth mentioning that they see this as a pushback against the populist movement, the nationalist populist movement that is making headway, Italy, Germany, Austria to some extent, and in the United States under Donald Trump, although people argue back and forth a bit on how real Trump is in terms of his wanting to save the country, and that is open for considerable debate. But those pushing global cities see their plan, which I'm continuing to describe here, as a way to push back against this populist so-called right-wing nationalist uprising. And so it's not enough for them to call nationalists would-be Adolf Hitler lovers or Holocaust deniers or all these epithets and name tags they've got. Those things are beginning to wear thin. The tape is not sticking very well. And so they have to come up with a new tactic, and global cities is part of that new tactic. Now, among the events and get-togethers they're having, today the Global Action Climate Summit today, September 14, 2018, is winding up in San Francisco. I'll mention that one first. And that's headed by Jerry Brown, everybody's favorite governor of California, who sees himself as a would-be national leader. He thinks that's pretty spiffy. And earlier this year, he went over and met with leaders from China and several other countries as if he were the president of the United States and began to collaborate with them on climate change issues and global warming issues and to get state leaders like himself and city mayors communicating with national leaders overseas, which is pretty unconstitutional if you want to analyze it. He's getting this collaboration going. And that led up to the September 12, 13, and 14 Global Action Climate Summit, again, that wound up today in San Francisco. And this is where they're trying to really put a lot of momentum behind the idea that state governors and mayors can do an end run around national authority, which in this case is an end run around Donald Trump, excuse me. And in so doing, try and formulate policy on climate change and global warming without the national government involved at all. In other words, these mayors and governors are trying to step by step, item by item, usurp national authority, and that is the essence from the bottom up of global cities. And a little later on the show, along with people wanting to call in the headlines that I mentioned at the beginning of today's show, where they've read headlines currently or in the near past that they thought were not just false but completely unreal in every respect, along with inviting people to call in about that sort of thing, I invite people to call in about this issue as I move along here and describe more of the events and more of the tactics involved. Now, the Global Parliament of Mayors is about to meet next month, October 21 through 23, in Bristol, UK, not far from Plymouth, where I was at this past spring to cover Bilderberg and do some other news work with the UK column. And the Global Parliament of Mayors is perhaps the most visible and obvious of these groups. The Global Action Climate Summit winding up is another more or less grouping. It's more of an event, but there's a loose-knit group around it. And the Global Covenant of Mayors on Climate Change is another one still. But this Global Parliament of Mayors, this is one that definitely bears watching. You can go to globalparliamentofmayors.org to read more about this upcoming event, this upcoming summit. Again, October 21 through 23 in Bristol, UK. It's an annual summit. And this is the structure of it. These are some of the organizations, the people involved, as I've described. Now, the Global Covenant of Mayors for Climate and Energy, which is its formal name, that's the one created by Michael Bloomberg in collaboration with the European Commission about 10 years ago. It describes itself as an international alliance of cities and local governments with a shared long-term vision of promoting and supporting voluntary action, they say, to combat climate change and to move to a low-emission resilient society. Very, very interesting. And then there's other types of cities that are described within the Global Cities Framework, smart and resilient cities. And smart cities is really the 5G communication upgrade that's coming that many believe will bring a very unhealthy environment, very high-powered electromagnetic energy in and around our bodies, throughout our cities, throughout much of the countryside, but especially in cities. And we have sustainable cities. We have, of course, we're familiar with this, sanctuary cities, where many of these global mayors wanting the Global Cities Program say that they will defy national authority, and they already have, such as Mayor Libby Schaaf in Oakland, California. They'll defy national authority in terms of allowing ICE to come into their town and pick up illegal aliens, including criminal illegal aliens. And Libby Schaaf, the Oakland mayor, earlier this year already issued a warning to illegal aliens in her town that ICE was coming, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and allowed them to get away and actually collaborated in allowing criminals to get away from ICE. And this, unfortunately, is an indication of what the Global Cities Program is about, an end run around national authority, and in some ways a defiance of national authority to strip the nation state at the national level of its authority and devolve that power to the local level and have cities be the main actors. Now, how do I know this? Well, the Chicago Forum on Global Cities, which happens every June, this year it happened right up against Bilderberg, which was in
being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Wasn't that the idea when we started out? In school, that's what they said the Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea when we started out? At school, that's what they said.
Okay, coming back to the show, ladies and gentlemen, your guest host for the National Intel Report here on 14 September 2018, Mark Anderson. American Free Press writer, and my blog, thetruthhound.com, under Stop the Presses. I understand we have a caller. I think we can probably squeeze him in before the top of the hour. We'll see how it goes. Ken from Fort Worth, you out there?
Yeah, Mark, how you doing? It's nice talking to you. I read your articles. I'm a prescriber for the American Free Press for years. I took spotlights. I got a pile of spotlights laying around.
Wow,
they got all kinds of good.
Fantastic. Hey, what's on your mind? What's on your mind, Ken?
Hey, Google, 71,000 indictments.
Say that again.
Google, 71,000 federal indictments.
Google sent you
71,000 indictments.
Okay.
Secret indictments, what do you want to call it?
So they sent them to you?
Oh, no, I hope not.
No, wait, what do you say? 71,000 indictments, where are you referring to?
Federal indictments. Secret federal indictments that they're going to probably open up here pretty quick.
Okay, and the indictments are against Google?
No. These are federal indictments for about anything, probably from drugs. And you know what I think they might do is,
I know what you're talking about now, the indictments that are, the sealed indictments that are waiting in the wings, right?
Right.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I was in the Fort Worth Public Library when it was 17,000. They shut my computer off. Anyway, now it's 71,000.
I'm trying to think.
You know, I think they might do is they might round up these governors and mayors of these different cities who talk about sanctuary cities. You know, that's insurrection.
It certainly strikes me as such. When you actually take someone who's a known or suspected criminal and you warn them and you prevent their arrest, you are an accomplice. You are enabler.
But I believe any governor that's advocating a sanctuary city or a state, they might round them up and prosecute them. That's a lot of indictments.
Yes, it is. And you're sure about that number? Is it 71,000?
You got a computer in front of you?
Yeah, I'll check it out later. No, I'll take your word for it at this point. It's fine.
Google, it keeps going up by the day almost. Now, are you following that 4.6 million foreign gold coins in a bank in New York?
No, sir, I am not.
French francs, German marks, and British sovereigns. I don't know what that's all about, but that's interesting. And also, Google, Putin gave Trump 160 terabytes of information at Helsinki. Because, you know, I think what happened is, you know, that... Trump told Putin that there was going to be some kind of a terrorist thing in St. Petersburg, Russia, and I think he returned a favor and thanked him and gave him some information. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, now this goes along with the insight of some people, and another reader of AFP that lives in your area has communicated this to me as well, that Donald Trump, though he may be imperfect, has a kind of a tactic in mind, a strategy in mind that he's not totally revealing.
I think so. Hey, nice talking to you. I'm gone.
Absolutely. Take care, Ken. Thank you for calling. We'll be right back for another caller right after these messages.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.